Welcome to installment 193 of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two commandments. Prohibition number 106, the prohibition of trying to exchange one sanctified animal for another, the prohibition of Tmura, and positive commandment 87, that if one should try to do so, then both animals become sanctified. Prohibition number 106 is the prohibition of Tmura, meaning an exchange. The law is that once an animal has been dedicated as a sacrifice and has been designated to be offered on the altar in the temple, it must be offered and cannot be exchanged for any other animal. There are some types of donations to the temple which can be actually redeemed. If the person would want this particular object back, he can redeem it by giving money, and instead of donating the object, can donate the value. This may not be done with an animal. Once the animal has been offered and dedicated as a sacrifice, it must be brought as a sacrifice. Not only can it not be exchanged for money, but it cannot even be exchanged with another animal. But once animal A has been designated as a sacrifice, a person may not lower it from its sanctified status by exchanging A for animal B. I want to bring animal B as the sacrifice and use animal A for his profane tasks. The law is that this is a prohibition, as described in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 10. Lo yachlifenu v'lo yomereisei. Do not exchange it and do not substitute it. If one makes the statement that I substitute this animal for this, he is violating this biblical prohibition and incurs the punishment of lashes. The Rambam quotes an interesting point from the Sifra. The Sifra asks, why is there a duplication, a second mention of this commandment by the law of Maaser? As we mentioned on another occasion, there is a particular kind of sacrifice called Maaser, a tithe. The tenth animal born in any year must be brought, one out of every ten animals, must be brought as a sacrifice to the temple. Further, in the same portion, in the end of the book of Leviticus, in verse 33, the prohibition is repeated, v'lo yimirenu, do not exchange this animal also. The Sifra asks, why should we have to mention this separately? Since we already have in verse 10 a general prohibition, one may not exchange one sacrifice for another, why did we have to single out this particular type of sacrifice, Maaser, and say that by Maaser also, one may not substitute another animal for this animal? The Sifra answers that this is to teach us something extra. As we say in Rabbi Yishmael Omer in the morning davening, that there are 13 methods of Torah interpretation, one of them being Kol Dover Shehoye Bechlal, one law which was included in a general law, such as this one, the prohibition of exchanging any sacrifice. But then V'yotza Min HaKlal, L'lamed, and then one of them was singled out of the general category. In this case, the specific sacrifice of Maaser was singled out. It does not come to teach you a law about Maaser alone. It comes to teach you about the whole category, about all of the sacrifices. And the Sifra explains exactly what it comes to teach us. In general, there are two ways of dedicating an animal to the temple. One way would be to dedicate it as a sacrifice on the altar. Another way would be to dedicate it for Bezek HaBayis, for temple repair. In that case, if one would donate an animal, let's say worth 500 shkolim, you would be able to sell the animal for 500 shkolim and use this money for temple repair. But the animal itself can be released from its holy state and used for another purpose. The Sifra then says that this is what the verse comes to teach us. Maaser is from the first type of the animals, which is not only sanctified for monetary use, but it itself is designated as a sacrifice to be brought on the altar. Therefore, it comes to teach us that the category of animals which one is forbidden from exchanging or substituting is only those animals which are brought as sacrifices on the altar. If an animal was donated for Bezek HaBayis, for temple repair, one is allowed to exchange it for another. Therefore, from the first verse, we would think that any animal may not be exchanged, whether the animal was designated as a sacrifice or was designated for temple repair, for bedek habayis. By singling out maaser, it shows that which type of animal may not be exchanged, only an animal which is similar to maaser, an animal which is designated as a sacrifice. The Rakanti explains a reason for this mitzvah, that once something has become sanctified, it may not be exchanged. That this symbolizes the eternal aspect, the eternal status of the Jewish people as a holy nation. That just as an animal which has been sanctified may not lose its sanctity and may not be switched with another animal, so too the Jewish nation has been chosen from among all the nations of the world, and we cannot lose our sanctity, and we cannot be switched or exchanged with another nation. God's commitment to us is an eternal one. The second commandment of today's portion, positive commandment number 87, is the positive side of this mitzvah. What happens if a person transgressed this prohibition and did exchange one animal for another? What happens to the animal? Do we say he has done a prohibition, but nevertheless his attempt is a successful one, and the first animal becomes profane, and the second animal becomes holy? Or do we say that his act did not help at all? Actually, neither of these is the case. The same verse states, "Bahoyahu usmarasi yakedesh." The law is that both animals become sanctified. The original animal does not lose its sanctity. However, his attempt to sanctify the other animal was nevertheless successful. And this is a positive commandment, that upon condition that someone violates a prohibition and does attempt to exchange one animal for another, the law then is to make both of them sanctified. Here the Rambam quotes a technical discussion from the Talmudic tractate Tmuda, which explains how it is possible to give a punishment of lashes for this prohibition that we mentioned earlier. As we have mentioned on other occasions, there's a category of a lav shenitak le'eseh, a prohibition which has a positive commandment associated with it. The general principle is that if there is a positive commandment associated with a prohibition, one would not get lashed for violating the prohibition. For example, one is prohibited from taking the mother bird together with the chicks, and he has a positive commandment of sending away the children. If one would take the mother in violation of this prohibition, he still would not get lashed, because he always has the choice of sending away the mother, baby birds. So too in this case, the Talmud says, there is a prohibition of exchanging, but there is a positive commandment of sanctifying the animal which was exchanged. How in this case, asks the Talmud, quoted by the Rambam, how in this case can we give a person lashes for violating this prohibition? The Talmud gives two answers to this question. The first one, not mentioned here, is that there is a slight difference in the law, a technical difference between a positive and negative. But the one the Rambam quotes here is a simple mathematical calculation. Really, here, says the Gemara, there is one positive commandment of sanctifying the substitute animal. However, there are two separate prohibitions mentioned. One, lo yachlifenu, do not exchange it, and a second, v'lo yamir, I say, do not substitute it. Even though we have here a positive commandment which corresponds to a negative, in our particular case there are two negative commandments, and therefore one still incurs lashes, because one of the two prohibitions has no positive commandment associated with it. Another interesting aspect of this prohibition, as mentioned in the Rambam's legal code, is this is one of the three prohibitions for which one incurs lashes even though no action has occurred. Only speech has taken place. This is similar to the prohibitions involving oaths and against cursing. In all of these three cases, one could get lashes even though no action has occurred, only speech. One explanation is given of this law that the substitute animal is sanctified by fitting it into the general framework of the purpose of all of Torah and mitzvahs. Our job here as Jews in our performance of Torah and mitzvahs, our learning of Torah and performance of mitzvahs, is to sanctify the world and take different parts of the world which previously were not holy and raise them up to holiness, include them in the category of Kedusha. In this case, an animal has been designated as a sacrifice and has thereby been sanctified. If a person should wish to profane this animal, he is forbidden from doing so. It has already been sanctified and must be completed. The task of including this animal in holiness must be completed. It must be sacrificed. Should a person desire to exchange this animal for another one, we say the opposite is going to happen. Not only can he not decrease the amount of holiness in the world, but he will increase the holiness in the world. The second animal will also become holy. Since this is the general purpose of Torah and mitzvahs, of increasing holiness, he will not be able to take one part of the physical world, this animal, and rip it away from the clutches of holiness. He will actually add on by including another animal in holiness. The Rambam concludes the laws of Tmura by pointing out an interesting explanation of this commandment. He gives a general rule that we can learn reasons and give different explanations for all of the commandments. Even though ultimately our understanding is limited, nevertheless we can and must try to find reasons for them. What is the reason for this commandment? The Rambam explains that human nature is to desire money and to desire wealth and have many possessions. After a person has designated an animal as a sacrifice, we suspect that he will change his mind, and the Torah therefore forbids him from exchanging it. Parenthetically, the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita has pointed out that this is a proof that the Rambam holds that there is such a thing as a gezeira min hateira, that the Torah itself can provide a fence around the Torah. In other words, to give us certain commandments to prevent us from doing something else. Here we are afraid that the person will have regret that he has dedicated this animal and will either redeem it or will exchange it for an inferior animal. However, we have another question, as the Rambam explains. Why can we not exchange the animal even for a superior animal? The Torah says, "Bein ra l'tev, bein tev l'ra." Whether it's for a worse animal or even a better animal, one is forbidden from making the substitution. Here the Rambam says, "Yorda teir l'seif machsheves ha'adam," that here the Torah gets down to the deepest point of the person's intellect and the person's thought, that a person, if allowed to exchange for a better animal, will actually try to trick God, so to speak. He will take an inferior animal and say, really, this was a better animal, and thereby decrease the level of his donation to the Torah, to the Beis HaMikdash. He will say it's a better animal, even though it's really not. The Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita compares this to a person's personal goals and a person's acts in this world. A person who is involved in helping simple Jews and in doing comparatively simple acts might be tempted to involve himself only in the holiest, most elevated things and lock himself off from the world. As he thinks it, exchange bein ra l'tev. He will change a, so to speak, bad activity for a good one, a more holy, a more sanctified activity. Why should I spend my time working with simple Jews when I could be learning secrets of the Torah? But the Torah tells him, no, you cannot exchange even bein ra l'tev. That you may think that this is tev, but a person is required to not exchange either one, that activities must take place on all fronts. And the Rambam concludes by saying that this is the purpose of the majority of mitzvahs in the Torah, to conquer a person's evil inclination and to improve his outlook and emotional qualities by following only the commandments of God. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.